Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Ensure investment returns face taxation at both the corporate and personal levels, creating complex implications for equity capital and investment strategies. Shifts in tax regimes, the growth of offshore reinsurers, and evolving treatment of alternative capital highlight how taxation continues to shape the insurance industry's financial landscape, according to a research article entitled Personal Taxes, Cost of Insurer Equity Capital, and the Case of Offshore Hedge Fund Reinsurers by Dr. Gregory Niehaus. He's a professor of finance and insurance at the University of South Carolina's Darla Moore School of Business. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV. Dr. Niehaus joins us now to discuss that and other findings from his academic research. Greg, welcome. It's so great to speak with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me and showing an interest in my research.
Well, Greg, what led you to focus your research on taxation and insurer capital?
So I would characterize my research as generally about the financial decisions of insurance companies. At least that's one area that I focus on. And so one of the important financial decisions is how much capital to hold, what determines the how much capital insurers hold. And so that led me down this path of seeing what the impact of taxes are on capital holdings of insurance companies. So when I say capital, what I'm talking generally about equity capital, which is the difference between the assets of an insurance company and their liabilities. And that's important because that's a cushion in case liabilities from, that is claim payments, turn out to be higher than expected, then they have this cushion from which they can pay those claims. And so holding capital is important, and it makes insurance companies promise to pay claims credible and allows them to pay claims when they're much higher than expected. So that's really the benefit of holding capital. The cost is, investors who give that capital want some return in exchange, and that return depends upon the risk that they see of the insurance company. And it turns out that it also depends upon the tax payments that they have to pay. And so the idea behind the research on taxes and capital for insurance companies is that if I'm an investor, what I want to know is that I'm going to be compensated in terms of an expected return that's consistent with what I could get elsewhere. So what's the opportunity cost? And if I can invest in a mutual fund or a hedge fund, which is a pass-through entity, that is the taxes that I have to pay each year are just passed through to me from the mutual fund, but they don't pay corporate taxes. Whereas if I invest in this insurance company that invests in the exact same assets as the mutual fund or the hedge fund, the insurance company has to pay corporate taxes in general, and then I have to pay personal taxes as well. So there's this double taxation, and that was research on the corporate taxes that insurance companies have to pay. Was research I did over 20 years ago with my colleague Scott Harrington. And what we found is that the corporate tax treatment of insurance companies' capital causes the cost of capital to be higher, and somehow insurance companies have to make up for that. And most likely source is that they have to charge higher loadings to policyholders, and so that corporate tax is one of the main costs of holding capital for insurance companies. So that was a paper that I did over 20 years ago. And then more recently, I focused more on the personal tax aspects of taxing on capital.
Very interesting. How do personal taxes affect the overall tax burden on insurers' equity capital and influence their investment strategies and portfolio choices?
In this more recent paper, what I focus on is the personal taxes. And so if you compare an investment in an insurance company, so I give money to an insurance company as an investor, and I expect a return, what they're going to do with that money is invest in securities. So the alternative for me, or an alternative way of investing, is to put it in a mutual fund or a hedge fund. And so let's suppose that both the mutual fund and the insurance company invest in the exact same assets, same securities. In that case, since the mutual fund is a pass-through entity, I'm going to have to pay personal taxes on the earnings each year. So if I get interest income, I have to pay tax on that at the personal income tax rate. If I get long-term capital gains from the mutual fund, I pay tax at the long-term capital gains rate, which is lower. But if I put it in with an insurance company, they have the ability to, maybe they won't pay it all out right away. And so it's not going to pass through to me on the annual basis. And so let's say they invest in interest-bearing securities, they can essentially convert that return to me as a long-term capital gain, because I could sell the stock years later, and then I have to pay tax on it. So I can essentially convert earnings that the insurance company earns on the assets into the long-term capital gains, or tax at a similar rate, be qualified dividends. And so the benefit from a personal tax standpoint is insurance companies can convert interest income and short-term capital gains into essentially long-term capital gains or qualified dividends. And that would allow me to pay a lower personal tax if I invest through an insurance company. So in the early paper, 20 years ago, the highlight was corporate taxes cause insurance companies to have to charge policyholders more because they have to compensate investors for the corporate taxes. And this paper is more about, well, there's a offsetting benefit of investing through an insurance company, and that is the personal tax benefit. So there's this offsetting effect that insurance companies can, if they invest in the right securities, can provide investors. And so that's the main point of this more recent paper.
In what ways have insurer tax costs shifted under different U.S. tax regimes? And what does that mean for capital management?
So the most recent paper, I kind of looked at over time, over the last 20 years or so, how the tax rates changed. And the biggest effect occurred in 2018, when the corporate tax rate was reduced to 21%. And that substantially reduces the corporate tax disadvantage of holding capital. And it turns out that the new tax law that came into effect in 2018 did not materially change the personal tax advantage of investing through an insurance company. So the net effect is that the corporate tax disadvantage was lowered because of the 2018 tax law change. And the personal tax, the corporate tax disadvantage was lowered, but the personal tax advantage didn't change. And so on net, the total tax burden of holding capital for an insurance company actually fell as a result of the tax law. So that's probably the major way that it has shifted over time, at least over the last 20 years.
Greg, what about about personal tax incentives? How have they driven the growth of offshore hedge fund reinsurers? And what lessons does that trend offer?
So the offshore hedge fund reinsurers are an interesting example of taking advantage of the personal tax advantage associated with insurance companies. So the idea is you take a hedge fund and they're investing in various securities. Maybe they're generating short-term capital gains, or they're investing in interest-bearing securities. And as a result, they have to pass those through to invest the returns on through to investors on an annual basis. But if they take that those funds and they place them with an insurance company, then the insurance company can essentially convert those into long-term capital gains or qualifying dividends and pay those out in a way that the investors will pay a lower net tax on the funds or on the returns of those funds. So if a hedge fund contributes money to an insurance company and puts that, and they put that money in the same type of securities as the hedge fund was investing in, and in exchange, the hedge fund investors get an equity stake in the insurance company, they then convert those high taxed returns into lower tax returns. And so there's this incentive to just contribute money to insurance companies. Now, they don't do it domestically. So if I'm a hedge fund in New York, I don't do that with a U.S. insurer. I do it with an offshore insurer, like in Bermuda or the Cayman Islands, which until recently for Bermuda, the corporate tax rate was zero. It's now 15%. But I believe the Cayman Islands is still zero. And so you avoid the corporate tax disadvantage by going offshore, but you get the personal tax advantage by investing in an insurance company that's offshore. And what that essentially does is it lowers the tax burden to hedge fund investors. And as a result, it gives an incentive to capitalize insurance companies that don't have to pay the corporate tax, but can reduce the personal tax to hedge fund investors. So hedge funds have an incentive to give capital to insurance companies that are located offshore. It essentially implies that these transactions reduce the tax costs to hedge fund investors. Now, it's relevant to recognize that the hedge fund can't just simply set up operations offshore, because then it would be characterized as a passive foreign investment company or a PFIC. And it would be subject to the same tax treatment as a U.S. domiciled hedge fund. So they need to invest through an insurance company, because insurance companies are, at least until 2018, were not subject to PFIC rules. They were exempted. And then since 2018, there's some additional constraints on insurance companies so that they're not classified as PFICs. But there's still the opportunity to do what I just described for hedge funds.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Long-term implications could evolving tax policy have on insurer competitiveness, capital formation, and industry stability?
That's a big question. So on competitiveness, if the U.S. Has tax policies that make it more costly to hold capital for insurance companies, relative to other jurisdictions, say Bermuda or the Cayman Islands or other jurisdictions, then that makes the U.S. less competitive with these other jurisdictions. So that's one effect, is the tax policy affects the competitiveness of the industry in the U.S., the insurance industry in the U.S. With regard to stability, what makes the insurance industry stable is to have to be able to pay claims when they come due, and that means being able to pay claims following catastrophes. And the stability of the of an insurance company, and therefore of the industry as a whole, depends upon the amount of capital that insurers hold. And if you lower the tax burden of holding capital for insurance companies, then you increase the amount of capital that insurance companies hold and increase the stability of the industry. And then the last thing I just point out quickly is that tax policy probably also influences what is commonly called the underwriting cycle, which in large part is tied to insurance capital. At least a lot of people view underwriting cycles, which refers to periods of high prices and low availability of coverage, followed by periods of low prices and readily available coverage. And so what causes this is, at least a lot of people have this view, that it's following a major catastrophe or shock to capital for insurance companies. They have depleted capital, and it's costly to go out and raise capital quickly. And so the industry is moving along with depleted capital, which means insurance companies have to reduce the amount of capital of insurance coverage that they provide. So it essentially shifts the supply of insurance coverage to the left. So it reduces insurance coverage. And that raises the price, given demand stays the same, and leads to a hard market. And so to the extent that insurance companies are more capitalized or better capitalized, it should reduce the volatility of prices in the industry, and therefore maybe reduce the amount of hard markets that we experience.
So, Greg, how might insurance executives, underwriters, or risk officers use these findings on tax costs and capital structures to guide strategic decisions and manage insurer capital more effectively?
Yeah. So from an insurer perspective, I think the analysis that we've done in my research is that it highlights that it's costly to hold capital, and typically that cost is borne by policyholders through higher loading factors. And so part of the reason insurers need to hold capital and maybe lots of capital is that they have risk. They have underwriting risk, they have asset risk, and the more risk you have, the more capital you need to hold, which is the basic idea underlying risk-based capital requirements. So I think the research highlights that if that there's costs of holding capital, and it highlights the importance of capital decisions and the role of risk management by insurance companies to economize on the amount of capital that they hold. It also highlights the role of the cost of capital, because the cost of capital is determined by how the insurer invests the assets, at least the personal tax advantage. If you invest in interest-bearing securities, or you have an investment strategy that involves short-term capital gains, then that provides an advantage to investors if you're doing that through an insurance company as opposed to, say, a mutual fund or a hedge fund. And so it highlights as well that the way that insurance companies invest their assets affects the tax costs of holding that capital.
Greg, this has been fascinating, so insightful, and it's been a pleasure. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Oh, thank you.
That was Dr. Gregory Niehaus, a professor of finance and insurance at the University of South Carolina's Darla Moore School of Business, and author of the research article, Personal Taxes, Cost of Insurer Equity Capital, and the Case of Offshore Hedge Fund Reinsurers. For AM Best TV, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.